That's all in the future. It's time to look back to the past. We've got Scott Washington in the studio, the one and only, for another round of History Matters, taking a look back at this week in history. And what a week in history it's been. How are you?
Yes, we can say yesterday is the one-day anniversary of what happened yesterday.
There you go.
Which was pretty.
You can say that most days, but today in particular.
That was just another really interesting and a great example of history in action. And it was really interesting to see, and as our democracy gets stress test, and so as the story continues. But
yeah,
there's a lot of other things happening, and including yesterday, where we think that was the only thing that was going on, but actually something even more important happens that in the great scheme of things we'll probably remember much more consequentially, and that's December 18th, 1865, is when the 13th Amendment abolishing slavery goes into effect, because the states had ratified them. And finally, it was early in the 19th century when somebody said, well, when exactly do these amendments go into force? And so a law was passed by Congress that said when the Secretary of State determines that enough states had. So enough states had already done it by early December. But it's December 18th when they actually, this 13th Amendment. And, that's really significant.
This becomes an issue, and I know we've talked about the 27th Amendment and the 200-plus year process of ratifying that, the law that Congress passed about when an amendment actually goes into effect, where, typically, as in the case of this, it's kind of, we know the states have ratified it, signed, and then it's done. Occasionally, and this is also kind of the case with the 13th and the 14th Amendment, too, where there's some disagreement as to which states count for the three quarters. Do you count the southern states? Do you not count the southern states? Are they in the Union? Are they out? So this is kind of a pivotal day.
And
as
actually,
well.
President Johnson made it a requirement for these states to rejoin the Union. They had to ratify this amendment.
Yep.
So it really does become important in terms of the overall history of the country. And, of course, this past Sunday, it was Bill of Rights Day, and you were there.
I was there.
It was a small contingent, smaller than normal, but we rang bells in Hillsborough, and that was the, the first Bill of Rights Day was back on December 15, 1791. This process had been totally untested. 10 amendments are added to the U.S. Constitution, and it begins this process. In fact, James Ardell, prior to that, in 1788, when Hillsborough is debating this new U.S. Constitution, actually states that fifth article is the most important because it allows the Constitution to be amended. And yesterday, that is what we'll probably remember more, is the 13th Amendment going into force.
And I mean, we talk about the 13th Amendment, we talk about the Bill of Rights, not the first Bill of Rights in history, nor American history, because we've also got, also this week in history, the North Carolina Declaration of Rights.
Exactly, and that comes up December 17th, 1776, in Halifax, as they're figuring it out. As the nation is lurching towards the inevitability of war with Great Britain, that the first thing that North Carolina does, and I think it's wonderfully symbolic, is they establish a Declaration of Rights. The next day, December 18th, that's when they pass the Constitution for the state. So well before there's a federal Constitution and a federal Bill of Rights, a Declaration of Rights, there is something going on in this state and other states as well. It's just that when the Constitution is formed in 1787, sent out to the states, there is this missing part that people here realize, say, whoa, 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 not so fast, and North Carolina makes that principled stand in favor of the amendments. And again, that process had never been tested before. So this was a first for the country, and really a first for North Carolina, is what happens. They didn't know. So what I think one of the best things was that when Congress finally comes up with 12 amendments, that George Washington wisely directs the clerks, write them all on one parchment and send them out to the states, not one at a time, the whole group.
Yep.
And most of them do get passed, though.
Yep.
At least the ones we know.
At least the ones we know is the first 10. Yeah. And there was also a question with the Bill of Rights as to do we, because the way we do it in North Carolina, because we amend the Constitution quite frequently in North Carolina.
Well, after the Civil War, certainly we do.
Right. We just kind of incorporate it into the text of the Constitution.
That
was a question as well after the Constitution was ratified. Are we going to amend the Constitution and just kind of insert words into Article 2, Article 3, Article 1, or are they going to be separate? I think, wasn't it Madison?
That's right. James Madison wanted to do that.
Wanted to insert them into the text, and people said, you know, actually, let's have them be separate. So they're kind of tacked on to the end.
Yeah, it was that good delegate from Connecticut who said, no. It was enough getting the first part done. We'll leave that as is. Put the amendments on afterwards.
Right.
And thank goodness, and that's how we do it. But it's important.
I don't know if there's a wrong answer to that question. Because I think if they had gone the other way, then we would be sitting here today going, man, thank God we just incorporate them in. It would be so weird if they were just kind of tacked on to the end like
that. It's true. You have to look at any time you're looking at the Constitution, you want to make sure you're getting one that says, as some do, they'll put parentheses or an asterisk around portions of the original Constitution
that are no longer relevant.
This is no longer relevant.
Yep.
Though, for instance, the issue of slavery was so repugnant to most of the states, you don't see that word in any of the documents. You don't see it in the first 10 amendments. Even though we know at the time this wasn't all settled law, but there was a sense of, like, it's not good enough to have that in there. That becomes an important part, and we're still figuring this out, just as we saw yesterday at the end of the impeachment proceedings, like, well, what's next? And, you know, this is only the third time. We're still figuring out how to do this in terms of, well, does this immediately go to the Senate, or how does this happen?
Right.
It's very interesting. It's interesting to see history happening right in front of us.
And it's funny because you sent the document for this week in history, all of the things that have happened in the past. There are several impeachment-related things that happened
this
week. In fact, this day in history, right?
Right, with President Clinton 21 years ago. Being impeached, but we also have in North Carolina history.
Go back. 21 years ago that? Oh, we are all so old.
I remember that was last
back in
millennium.
My day, we were on the old rocking chair when that happened.
That's right.
That was 21 years ago?
Right. Yes, but then we have to go back further to the 19th century, and that's when Governor Holden, they begin the process of impeachment. The only governor to be removed.
So talk about, because I think we're familiar with Clinton's impeachment and the fact that that vote happened on this day 21 years ago. That's significant. But William Holden, North Carolina governor, I did not know about this until fairly recently myself. So this is a really interesting
story.
Oh, very
important, because after the Civil War, we think, it's all settled and done. And in fact, William Holden takes action against the Ku Klux Klan, and that brings him into great peril with the conservative forces, and so they're the ones who rise up, and he only escapes being, I think, removed by one vote, or he is removed.
He is removed. Johnson is the one who avoids being removed by one vote.
Exactly. So this is a rare process, but it does happen, and that's one that is the darker side of the impeachment process, because what he did was the right thing, because history has shown to be on the right side of history.
There is now a movement in Raleigh on the state level to try to officially resuscitate William Holden's record and kind of expunge some of the dark marks that were put on it with impeachment and his removal from office and all of the permanent record stuff that that he faced. There's a movement now to try to get those officially expunged that's still ongoing.
Well, you know, it's important to understand that after the Civil War, Reconstruction involves federal troops here in the South, and they make sure that there is some degree of fairness going on for a number of years until the end of the 19th century, when the events occur both down in Louisiana, and you have Plessy versus Ferguson, the ruling by the Supreme Court that justifies and sanctions segregation, and then followed up, of course, with Wilmington and the coup d'etat that takes place when an integrated a fusion party is elected, and a very conservative group of extremist whites take over the city by force, And despite pleas to President McKinley, they go unregarded. And throughout the South, that sends a green light. Then it's okay. And for the next 50, 60 years, we have Jim Crow laws.
Yep.
So it is very important, and that's why we have to learn from history so that things like this never happen again.
Yeah, part of the interesting history that I read of then what happened in the 20th century, or talk about the, you know, 1898 is a little bit of a difficult thing for people to understand, because in this case, kind of the right wing conservative party was the Democratic Party, and the ostensibly pro civil rights party was the Republicans. That's why they appealed to McKinley, who was a Republican in the White House, and then he did nothing. The federal government did nothing, and let the coup d'etat happen in Wilmington, and quite a few people died.
Only time in American history that we know of that happened, where elected officials are forcibly and violently outed from office, and there's great loss of life in that time.
Yeah.
And it takes another almost century before North Carolina and their archives, thank goodness, did a full comprehensive report. And I've read some of those heartbreaking letters to President McKinley by citizens pleading for help. That go unregarded and unreported.
Yeah, part of the reason then in the 20th century that eventually the shift happens and the Democrats become the party of civil rights and the Republicans become the more conservative anti-civil rights party, that takes decades and decades to happen. And part of the reason is that Republicans kept doing what McKinley did in 1898, which was talk a good game about civil rights, but then not do anything. And eventually black voters started to move away from the Republicans and gradually towards the Democrats. And in the 1940s and 50s, then it becomes electorally valuable for the Democrats to appeal to those voters, and that just continues the process, and then you get to the 50s and 60s. But it's a 70-year process for that to happen, and it kind of begins with what happened in Wilmington in 1898.
That's why we look at what happened yesterday, you know, with the impeachment, and we'll say, oh, that's the big news. But when you look at history, you realize there are these other elements that are just as important that we need to learn from so that we don't have them happen again.
Trends,
however,
more than the significant, the specific instances.
I have to point out a couple of things that happened this week that are really cool. One of them is 1903, December 17th, is when the Wright brothers make their successful flight. Now, they had tried several days before. It didn't work out.
Of course, their unsuccessful flight.
But I think that's just as important, because they didn't give up. They didn't say, well, let's try it again.
Well, they had gone all the way. They'd like hauled all of their stuff down from Ohio. We're not giving up until
that's
up in the air.
And Ohio loves to claim the Wright brothers as, we're the first in flight.
Yeah,
but
whatever.
Actually, yeah,
whatever, Ohio.
Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's here that, of course, that happened.
There is something wrong with it. It was here.
It changes the world. The other one, besides The Simpsons debuting on Fox in 1989, and it's still on the air, there is something that happens, a couple of things. The Boston Tea Party, December 16th, 1773, when, again, this issue of taxation without representation, it just keeps plaguing the colony. It's the thorn in the side. And, of course, tea is dumped overboard because people are just fed up. And that's a pretty significant, you know, it is violent towards the tea, but not towards people. Nobody dies at that point.
Yep.
The other one happens on December 16th is when the Battle of the Bulge begins in 1944. You heard some reference. We all did yesterday in the impeachment hearings. This brought up, but that starts on December 16th, goes to January 25th. This was a one of the major counteroffenses by the Germans towards the Allies who are in Europe. They go into Belgium, and there's a bulge in the line, and at Bastogne is where the 101st Airborne stubbornly holds out, even though they're surrounded. And in fact, the great story, which is true, is they the Germans deliver a letter to the commanding officer, General Anthony McAuliffe, and suggests he surrenders. And he gives one word response to that, which the Germans are like, what does this mean? Which is nuts.
Nuts. Yep.
And, you know, Patton, when he hears about them being besieged, he says, of course, we're going to go. And incredible, one of the most heroic stories of World War II, he turns around the Third Army and comes to their defense, and they hold the line and saves the day.
Speaking with Scott Washington, History Matters. We got time for one more. What do you got?
Well, let's see. The Mayflower, they land at Plymouth Rock on December 21st, 1620. And we think, oh, well, they're just going to have a good time. You know, on December 25th, they are still building. They're Puritans. They don't believe
in celebration. They don't celebrate Christmas, yeah.
No. So that's pretty important. And also, December 21st is when the winter solstice is. So we're coming to that long times of the night is longer, and then the day slowly gets lighter going towards spring and summer. So that's a word of hope on a good note here.
And that is History Matters. As always, Scott Washington, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jerry.